This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan.
Welcome to episode 70 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I want to start today's episode with a song called A Simple Faith.
You told me my simple faith in Jesus. A passing phase. I would soon outgrow. And you said to me, time would make a difference. And there'd come a day. Say I told you so. That was then. This is now. A lot has changed, but still somehow. Some things remain unscathed. I still prefer a simple
That song featured my current band. We don't have a name, and we've been together for 2 years. It's hard to find a name when you have a first name so long as Lawrence Tuning. If you have a very long band name, you have to put it in very little print. Anyway, I love these guys. They are wonderful to work with. The band consists of Keith Hamrick on drums, Brian Hoogenboom on acoustic guitar and electric guitar, Jason Dowdy on lead guitar, and Russell James on bass, and of course, yours truly. It's a real joy to play with these guys. We have tried to put on a concert for 2 years now, and COVID has knocked us out 3 or 4 times. We're getting ready to do one here in town in June for the first time, so we'll tell you more about that as time goes on. But here's another one that the band and I did together, an old favorite of mine called Unless the Lord Builds the House. When I was in Indiana a few weeks ago, my friend Carl Simsrott and I went to the studio where I do my records, and we put down an old song that goes back to the early days of The Fisherman called Jesus, You've Been So Real. I hadn't recorded that song since 1973, but we were real happy with the way it turned out. So this is Carl playing the guitar with me on Jesus, You've Been So Real. Last week, I attended a banquet here in Florence, South Carolina, put on by the local homeless shelter called House of Hope. It's a fantastic ministry that helps many of the homeless people. They are building a great number of tiny houses to help give people a place to live. And so they put on a banquet every year, and I heard the baseball legend Darryl Strawberry give his testimony. Now, Darryl Strawberry broke my heart in 1986 when he played for the New York Mets, and the Mets beat the Red Sox in the seventh game. But I forgave him, and I especially forgave him last week when he shared how he had fallen from the heights of success to actually going to prison. And he shared how Jesus came and changed his life and gave him a new hope and a new life and a new future. And he's actually a minister of the gospel now. And my heart was just really overflowing hearing all this. One of the directors there at the homeless shelter is a lady, a good friend of ours named Wanda Vereen. Wanda was on our show a few months ago, and we gathered around the piano and she sang an old classic. And I want to replay that today. This is Wanda Vereen singing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am
one more time.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am precious Lord, and lead your child home.
I mentioned earlier in the episode about my band, a great bunch of talented guys. Brian Hoogenboom, who plays acoustic guitar and electric guitar on some of the songs, he's a great singer, and he wrote a song to his wife a few years ago, And it's just a great love song. And he talks about a car that he borrowed from his mom to take her out on the first date. This song is called Oldsmobile. I'm so thankful for the team that God has put around me for this radio show. I love that band. My buddy Miles is sitting right beside me. I call him the surgeon. He's pretty good with snipping uhs and ahs out of the conversation. I appreciate him. I appreciate Lamb's Chapel Christian Center, who lets us use their sanctuary to record these episodes. Thankful for Julie Carroll, who manages my social media. And I really thank God for my wife, who is my prayer partner for this show. One of the things I love to hear is what we heard on that last song, buddy. A tremolo guitar. I think that's one of the most beautiful sounds And so before I talk to you about some things on my heart today, I want to pick an old gospel classic that my buddy Jason Dowdy, who plays lead guitar for the band, shines on. It's the old song called In the Garden.
Share as we tarry there.
That's probably one of the most popular gospel songs of all time. I always like to sing that. I always like the line that says, "He tells me I am his own." And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I like that because it's personal. There is a joy that he and I share that nobody else has ever known. That's the way it is with everybody who follows Christ. It's a personal thing. I've titled this episode, "What's So Good About It?" The word gospel means good news. That's what it means in the Greek language. So when you hear people say they are a minister of the gospel, or they preach the gospel, or even the gospel according to Matthew, what they're saying is the good news. So my question today is, what's so good about it? Because so many people I run into don't seem to see anything good about it. And I think part of that reason is we've confused a walk with Jesus with some of these other things. I know people who won't go to church, for example, because they've gotten Jesus confused with a political party. Now, I'm not talking about either party in particular because it happens on both sides. But it hurt me when I went and saw a friend a while back. Hadn't seen him in years. I used to be his pastor, and he told me, "I've got to confess to you that we don't go to church anymore. We tried to go to a church," and he said, "I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like I was at a political convention, and I wasn't going there to have people tell me who to vote for and what issue was right politically. I wanted to hear about Jesus." And there are a lot of people out there who confuse when we say Christianity or even the word evangelical. They confuse that with what that song we just sang in the garden is talking about. "And he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other's ever known." That personal relationship is somehow confused. People confuse it with organized religion. Now, I believe we should find a church. But following Jesus is not quite the same as following church. It's not the same at all. And so you have people that don't get anything out of church, or they have a problem with people who talk it but don't walk it. And so that's a stumbling block. And they associate being a Christian with that. And you've got to cut that away too, because it's a whole lot more than just joining a movement. It's a personal walk with Jesus. Here's the other thing I want to say, just talking from my heart today. It's even more than making a decision to follow Christ. The Bible teaches that when you come to Christ, there is what they call a regeneration that happens in your spirit. The Holy Spirit from God actually comes and takes up residence in your body with you. It's a supernatural thing that happens. Jesus said the same thing to Nicodemus. He basically said in John 3 that there's two kinds of births. One is physical birth that we all go through. The other is being born of the Spirit. That doesn't happen to everybody. That happens to those who come to Christ and accept him as the Son of God. You repent from your sins. You ask him into your life. And according to the Bible, something ignites down in your spirit. Your spirit comes alive. The Bible even says we're dead spiritually till we come to Jesus. So when people talk about being born again, we're not talking about just joining a movement. We're talking about an experience where the Holy Spirit comes and causes your spirit to come alive in Christ. So back to the title of this episode, "What's So Good About It?" here's some things that are really good about following Jesus. First of all, is the eradication of guilt. The Bible says when you come to Christ, he will remember your sins no more. It's like there's this delete button up in heaven, and he says, I don't remember those sins anymore. I not only forgive you, but it's off of your record. I know so many people that are just racked by guilt. Things that happened years ago, things that happened that hurt other people, that you regret, and they haunt you even years later. Shame of what you went through. Maybe you weren't even the one who perpetrated it, but you were a victim. And all this shame and all this guilt, there's something about Christ coming to him that takes that all away. If you really can believe that, that he wipes the slate clean, it's just like you're starting over again. Now, that's good news. Even if there were no heaven, that's good news, that you don't have to walk around with guilt. I remember years ago, I was ministering at a little coffee house in Indiana, and I was actually staying there till it closed. And there was a guy who came, and he just stayed and stayed and stayed. And we were wanting to close up, but he wouldn't leave. And finally, I asked him, is there something I can help you with? And he said, yeah, I want to talk about my life. So he talked about all this guilt that he carried, and I began to share with him, God will take that away from you. If you come to him, he says, I will remember your sins no more. I will cast your sins as far as east is from west. And so he prayed to accept Christ. But he still wouldn't leave. He stayed and stayed and stayed. And I don't know if I was getting irritated or not, but I was ready to go home. And there came a moment where all of a sudden this guy, he was sitting on the floor. He fell back on his back and started laughing uncontrollably. I thought the guy was flipping out. And he got up and he looked at me. He said, it just hit me. My sins are gone. It's over. There's no guilt anymore. That's one thing that's good about it. If you've got guilt, you can have that taken away. You don't have to be haunted by it for the rest of your life. I want to play a little song about that I recorded way back in 1997 called Forget About It Now.
Can't forget about it now. You can't forget about it now. All the sins in your past were done away at Calvary. You can't forget about it now. You can't forget about it now. When the Lord, he forgave you, he threw away the memory. You can't forget about it now. All the sins in your past were done away at Calvary. You can't forget about it now. Can't forget about it now. It's when the Lord, he forgave you, he threw away the memory. He will remember your sins. Sins no more. And you may have been a hypocrite singing in the choir. You may have been a derelict.
sinking in the mire. And you may have been an infidel headed for the fire, but it's over and done in front of one. You can't forget about it now. Oh yes you can, you can't forget about it now. Every one of those sins in your past were done away in Calvary. You can't forget about it now. You can't forget about it now. 'Cause when the Lord, he forgave you, he threw away the memory. When the Lord, he forgave you, he threw away the memory. Yes, the Lord, he forgave you.
You're listening to a show called Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tunin, your host. We're singing a lot of songs on this episode, and I've titled it, What's So Good About It? The word gospel means good news. What is good about Christianity? Because so many people are not attracted to it, and that's a sad thing, because in the Bible, the worst sinners in the whole community loved Jesus. They wanted to be around him. Even if they weren't following him, they loved to be around him. They were attracted to him. And I don't see that happening a lot these days. The people many times, and you mention church or you mention being a Christian, they have negative reactions to it. So I wanted to talk today about what's so good about it. And we talked right before the last song. One thing good about it is that all guilt can be taken away. It's a new start. That's what grace is all about. I remember one time when I had one of my other bands, we had just formed and we were going to sing for our church. I think one of the first times we had ever sung. And we started a song on the wrong foot. I can't remember if we were in different chords or whatever, but it was a disaster for the first 3 minutes. And I just stopped. And I said, we've just got to start over. And somebody told me later, I would have just walked out of the auditorium if that would have happened to me. I would have been so embarrassed. And I said, well, you don't understand grace. That's what grace is all about. You can start over. You can say goodbye to the past. And according to the word, it can be taken away, erased, deleted. God says, I'll remember it no more, and you can start again. That's what's good about it. Another thing that's good about it is you can be freed from the fear of death. I've interviewed different people on this show that have said one of the things they dealt with before coming to Christ was they had this terrible fear of death. Fear of the unknown, fear of judgment. Well, Jesus said that, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he said, if a person believes in me, he will live though he die. And what the Bible teaches is that you go directly into the presence of Jesus when you die, if you're a Christian. It's not some foreboding thing. You instantly go into his presence, a place of great joy. And so that's another great thing. You don't have to be worried with death anymore. Another thing is that you can have a sense of purpose. So many don't have purpose. And yet, when you align yourself with your Creator, who has a plan for you, in fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah, God is speaking. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And I remember when I got to the place where I fully gave my whole life to the Lord. Now, I had come to Christ as a little kid, but later on when I was in college, I realized that I had not surrendered my whole life to Christ to be willing to do his will, no matter what that was. When I got to that point, I remember feeling this incredible joy because I knew that I was now aligned with his purposes and that he had a great purpose for my life. I didn't have to worry about it and try to plan it. I could just ask him for his will and he would lead me. That's a great thing to feel like you are doing what you were created to do. And that's a great thing about Christianity. That's what's good about it. One of the most familiar proverbs is this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord and he will make your path straight. What does that mean? That means if I am trusting him to lead my life, if I'm not leaning on my understanding, but I'm leaning on him to lead me, and I acknowledge him in every area of my life, he promises, I will make your path straight. I will lead you. I will give you direction. So purpose, that's a great, great thing. Now I realize in some respects I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to people who already know this stuff. But I believe there might be some of you that just have never heard anybody explain it to you before. I've told you before about an older gentleman that I met in Maine where I just simply preached the simple story of the gospel of Jesus and the cross. And this older man came and he told me, I've always wanted to know how to come to God, but I didn't know how. So I thank you for that. So in case you've never heard this before, I want to just say this to you. To understand what Jesus did on the cross, we're getting ready to move toward Easter before long, you have to understand the concept of substitution. Substitute. What is a substitute? A substitute is something that does something for somebody else. A substitute teacher is a teacher who is filling in for another teacher. A substitute sweetener is filling in for sugar. And so what Jesus did on the cross is he substituted himself to be punished for our sins. He became our substitute. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. Well, if he's a God of justice, then punishment needs to be done. Some of these evil people that you see hurting people, there needs to be punishment. But God in his great love says, that's right, there needs to be punishment. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down from heaven, and even though I've never committed any sins, I'm going to take the punishment. I'm going to go to the cross, and in a way that I don't think any of us can ever understand, the shedding of his blood was the substitute. What that means is we have a ticket to heaven. We don't have to worry about eternal judgment or eternal punishment because we can just simply say it's paid for. Jesus did it on the cross. This is my ticket in. It has nothing to do with anything that I've done, any good thing or bad thing. He paid for it, so I'm showing you my pass. I've told this story before, but I want to tell it to you again. Back in the 1800s, when Napoleon was in power, Napoleon was leading wars all over the world. This is a true story that the D.L. Moody told. There was a lady who had several sons, and all but one had been killed in the war. And so they drafted her last remaining son. Well, there was a neighbor that said he didn't think that was right, and he couldn't get her off his mind. So he went to the French government and asked if he could go in that young man's place. They just needed a body to go out there and fight, so they agreed to it. So this neighbor went and fought and got killed. Well, Napoleon still needed more soldiers, so wasn't long before her son got a notice, you've got to join the French army. Well, this lady protested, and she went to the government, and she said, he doesn't have to go. They said, yes, he does. He said, no, it's already been paid for. Somebody went in his place. And they opened up the books, and they found this guy's name, and there was his name. But there was a line written through his name, and another man's name was on top of it. They said, you're right. It's been paid for. He doesn't have to go. Somebody else gave his life for him. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus said, you don't have to be punished. I will do it. And if you will just accept me and give your life to me, you can have eternal life, and you can have all these things that are so good about it. I want to play you a song now that I wrote a couple of years ago called Not Too Late.
I had a chance, but I did not take it. I had a choice, but I did not make it. I live with regret, and I just can't shake it. But it's not too late to start over again. I had a future I went and shattered. I had hope, somehow got scattered. I sinned and I lost the one thing that mattered. Not too late to start over again. Heart again. Sweet forgiveness, the kind that frees us. One by one, I'll pick up the pieces, I'll gather them up, take them to Jesus. For it's not too late to start over again. And I know I can't replace the past with things it might have been. And there's only one thing left for me to heal this heart again. Sweet forgiveness, the kind that frees us. One by one, I'll pick up the pieces, I'll gather them up, take them to Jesus. For it's not too late to start over again. Broken pieces, I'll just take them to Jesus. He told me it's not too late to start over again.
Thank you for listening to our show today. I want to close with a prayer. Maybe you've heard this, and some of the things that we've sung or said has struck a chord with you, and you want to make a decision to start over again. I want to say a prayer, and you just pray with me. It's not the exact words that mean the most, but it's the attitude of your heart. So wherever you are, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I need you. I want to have a relationship with you, a friendship with you. I thank you that I can start over again. I thank you that you were my substitute on the cross. You made a way for all of my sins to be taken away, for all the guilt to be removed, and for me to be able to go to heaven. And so right now I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. I embrace you as the Son of God. I embrace your gift of salvation by your blood to let me go and have eternal life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins, and for the rest of my life, I want to follow you. I thank you for your absolute wonderful love to me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless all of you. I hope you'll tune in next week. Remember, we're on Spotify now, 7 p.m. every Saturday night, a new show drops. Also, WRGR.live, 7 and 8 and 11 and noon each Saturday and Sunday. See you next week. I'm gonna stand up in church. I'm gonna testify. Sure.